الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected and beloved brothers in Islam, the value of this dunya, of this world, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not even equivalent, not to the wing of a mosquito, and not even to the broken wing of a mosquito. Whatever this dunya has, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has clarified, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً. It is only an adornment, it is only a beautification. In haqiqat, in reality, it has nothing. In the Mubarak hadith of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed different sahaba, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr, another sahaba, and he said, أَرْبَعٌ إِن كُنَّ فِيكْ وَمَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. There are four qualities, that if you have these four qualities, if you possess them, then whatever you don't have of this world will be no loss to you. Take the world and take four qualities and understand the value of four qualities that our Mubarak Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about. Before we delve into the hadith in itself, let us make dua that Allah ta'ala bless us with these four qualities. They are so imperative in our lives, they are so necessary in our lives, that we cannot, not as believers, but as human beings, we cannot live without these qualities. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number one, حِفْظُ أَمَانَةٍ. To be trustworthy, to look after the trust, to look after the amanat. You and I, normally when we speak about amanat, we have a very narrowed down concept of amanat. To us, amanat is something that if somebody goes from one place to another and he leaves something in the hands of someone, that is the only amanat. Yes, it is amana. However, it is a very, very small portion of amana that is spoken about in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a matter of fact in the Quran Kareem. The importance of amanat is so great that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never stood up to give a khutbah in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, La imana liman la amanata la, wa la deena liman la ahda la. That there is absolutely no iman in that person who does not have the quality of trustworthiness. Trustworthiness, when the ulama express it, They express it in a very broad context, that whoever has given us a responsibility and they have the knowledge, they have the hope that we will fulfill that responsibility, that responsibility becomes an amana upon us. Let us first of all take some kind of inspiration from the seerah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we'll move on. We all know that in Islamic history, the 8th year of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fateh Makkah, or the conquest of Makkah, had taken place. Now, there are many aspects with regards and many lessons that we learn from Fateh Makkah, but just the one aspect of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the house of his cousin, the sister of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Umme Hani. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam makes a ghusl. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs salah. And from there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the haram. Now, around the Baytullah, around the Kaaba, are 360 idols. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has those idols brought down, broken down. And now, the desire in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to enter the Kaaba itself. So obviously, the Kaaba has a door, that door has a key, and that key has a key keeper. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks for this person, does not find him. He in the meantime had went into hiding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to look for this person, Uthman ibn Talha, from the Shayba tribe. Now why was he actually hiding? Was there was another incident that took place before that is very important for us to understand the context of what goes forward. Before the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa had the desire to enter the Baytullah, to enter the Kaaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this person to open the Kaaba or ask for the key of the Kaaba. And this person, Uthman ibn Talha, refused to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the key. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's guided by wahi of Allah. And through that guidance of Allah ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Uthman, there will be a day in my life, in your life, and actually a day in the history of mankind, that the key will be in my hand. And I will have the choice to give the key to whomsoever I desire. Uthman ibn Talha understood that if the key goes into the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has conquered Makkah. Hijrah hasn't taken place. Hijrah hasn't taken place. But there's something that told him, for the key to be in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be a day of victory for him. So immediately his response to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, that will be a day of disgrace for the Quraysh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, it will be a day of honor for the Quraysh. Nonetheless, coming back, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who pursues this person, he finds him, there's an exchange of words, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu now puts a little bit of force on this person, and he hands over the key to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, saying that this is amana. I'm giving you this key as an amanat. I'm giving you this key as a trust. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes the key. Nonetheless, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into the Baytullah, he goes into the Kaaba. Whatever was there was removed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed some salat. It comes in the narration that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam in the corners of Baytullah, he made dua, he made zikrullah, he made takbir. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out of the Baytullah. a monumental khutbah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivers. And after that khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of Makkah, for them it was defeat. And the concern in the heart of every person is, how are we going to be dealt with? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question, that what are your thoughts? How do you think I am going to deal with you? So one person stands up and he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anta akhun kareem wabnu akhi kareem. You yourself, you are an honorable brother to us. And you are also the son of an honorable brother. In other words, you are honor upon honor. And we only have hope that you will deal with us in a way of rahmah, compassion, mercy. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeats the words of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Now, that key of the Baytullah is in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hand this key over? Request number one, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he requests the key from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Second request, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he makes the request of having the key of the Baytullah. What a sharf, what an honor it would be for anyone to be the key keeper of the Baytullah, and they desired it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the ayah of the Quran, Inna Allah ya'murukum أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. O Ummat, Allah has commanded you that you hand over the amana to its ahl, to the rightful person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam hands over the key to Uthman ibn Talha. He gives it back. Notwithstanding whatever happened so many years ago, that Uthman refused to give the key to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Islam there's no nepotism, there's no favoritism. Here is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is the cousin and son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does what's right. And then he also further says to him that this key will remain forever with you, your offspring, your descendants, and only a zalim, only an oppressive person will take this key away from you. You may have heard that in this year in June, a person by the name of Sheikh Saleh from the Banu Shayba tribe, a descendant of Uthman ibn Talha, he passed away. He was number 108 of the generation of this person, and he had the key of the Baytullah in his hands. Ulama have written that hundreds of people, actually 160 different governors, had passed from the different families and the different forms of government, whether it was the Banu Umayyah, whether it was from the Banu Abbas, or whether it was from the Khilafati Uthmaniya, whoever. But each one abided by this wasiyat and this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it will stay in the hands of this family and it will go down from descendant to descendant. Friends, the important lesson that we learn here, that notwithstanding any kind of ill feelings that had taken place in the past, notwithstanding the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own family had requested keeping the key, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we speak about this amanat, it is not just a little parcel, some gold, some money that one person leaves in the hands of someone else when he is traveling or whatever. It is very broad. In one hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once giving a talk to the Sahaba. And in between the talk, one person interjected and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mata as-sa'a, when is Qiyamah going to come? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued his talk. The narrator says it was as though some of us thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam may have not heard this person. When he completed his talk, he asked, who is the sa'il? Who is the questioner? The person put up his hand. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Qiyamah will come when amanah is lost. So this person didn't understand what context Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is speaking about. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the interpretation of that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, that when the affairs of people will be handed over to incapable individuals, فَانْتَذِرِ السَّاعَ, then wait for the day of Qiyamah. Now here we find that the administration of affairs is also a form of amana in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the broad context of it, any form where we had to return something to someone will be regarded as an amana. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith by way of an episode that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrated to the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, amongst the people of the past was a man that was impoverished for whatever the reasons may be. And he understood that the only way he could come out of his difficulties was that he takes a loan from a friend of his. Now this is important for you and I, that in the current global situation in our country, wherever you go, people will speak about how bad the economy is, people will speak about how bad business is, and somewhere and somehow somebody becomes hard-pressed, and there may be the need to take goods on account, there may be the need for us to borrow. But take inspiration from this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a man goes to borrow, the lender says to him that bring a witness. This person doesn't have a witness, so he replies, Allah is my witness. Then he says, the lender says, bring a guarantor or bring some form of collateral, bring guarantee. The person says, I don't have a guarantor and I don't have any form of a collateral that I can hand over to you. The lender, obviously, was strong in his iman. He hands over that amount of money, 10,000 silver coins, a huge amount. This person takes the money and for some reason, he needed to leave the village from the side that he was living in, and he had to live on the other side of the village. In between this village is a river, and he had to move over to the other side. So he moved over, but now comes due date. The man takes his coins and he goes to the river, to the bank of the river, and he finds that there is no boat to transport him to the other side. That gives sometimes a reason for the delay of payment. But he is not interested in delaying the payment. He is interested in fulfilling this amanat. He's made a promise and he needs to fulfill this promise. He goes back home and he takes a piece of wood and he carves out the wood from inside. And he places the coins into this wood with a letter to the creditor. The name of the creditor, the amount of money that is put in here, and of course the letter of thank you. And his only option is to let this piece of wood now float on that water to the other side. The creditor himself, he also knows that it is due date. Why give the man that amount of takleef to come to me and look for me? He goes to the other side of the river bank and he waits and he knows that today is due date. I will get my money. And he sees, lo and behold, this piece of wood float towards him. He takes it out, he opens it, he reads the letter, and he knows that this is his money. Brothers, is this something of the past? Do we have this today? Is it something that this ummah has forgotten? Have we forgotten that beautiful legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba? Or have we become so careless that when it is due date, for some reason there's a problem with our phone, for some reason we cannot take the call, for some reason there's no blue ticks coming on the WhatsApp, and we're like gone. We AWOL. This is not the behavior of the ummah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Ibn Majah, there is a narration of a sale that had taken place between two individuals, a piece of land. And after the sale took place, willing buyer, willing seller, the buyer begins to dig into that land for whatever reason, and he finds a treasure in that land. What would I do? What would you do? Find the keepers. He takes this treasure and he goes to the seller and he says, this is your amanat. This is your amanat. What does the seller say? It's not mine. It's not mine. This matter goes for arbitration. Can we think about it? An arbitration of two people that are denying. Normally two people are making a claim, that is why you would have an arbitration. But here, both of them are denying the ownership of this huge amount of wealth. Is this again something of the past? Can we as an ummah bring this back? Friends, the arbitrator also, Allah had given him wisdom. He asked the one man, the seller or buyer, do you have children? Yes. The other party, do you have children? Yes. Do you have a son? You have a daughter? Get the two of them married and give it to them. So my brothers, we cry at the condition of the ummah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a very lengthy hadith. When this ummah fails to fulfill its promises to each other. Remember, when we fail to fulfill our promises, what are we doing? We are dishonoring another individual, especially another Muslim, not Muslims equally. But when we ourselves do not have the honor of another Muslim in our hearts, do we expect others to honor this ummah? When we see so much of blood of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam flowing, when we see so many mutilated children, we see so many mutilated adults, we see so many homeless individuals, over 41,000 have become shaheed. Brothers, amongst the other reasons, one reason comes in the hadith that when we do not fulfill our promises, when we do not fulfill our promises, Allah Ta'ala will bring about this mass destruction, mass killings of people on the surface of this earth. Allah give us the tawfiq. So that was the one quality. If you have that, very quickly, the second quality is that of honesty, speaking the truth. One is amanat, trustworthiness. The second is speaking the truth. The third is husnu khaliqa, that is good character. And good character as a believer needs to be shown whether we are in our homes, whether we are in our businesses, whether we are in public, whether we are in the masjid, whatever space we are in, we need to show that good character. And the last, the fourth quality, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, abstinence when it comes to our food. Even if it is one morsel, make sure, number one, it is acquired in a halal manner, and number two, obviously, the ingredients and all of it is halal. If we have these four qualities, whatever else we missed out of this world, it doesn't matter. It is not a loss. It is a gain multiplied for an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala first of all grant me these qualities and all the other beautiful qualities that are spoken about in the Quran, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who have given their lives and their blood for this ummah. May Allah accept their shahadat. May Allah Ta'ala elevate their rank. May Allah give sabr to the families, those who are ill and sick. Allah Ta'ala grant each and every one shifa'i kamil, ajil mustamir. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen.